kind of indirectly the other day. And I just want you to bow your head with me, because we want to go to the Lord, but we want to make sure that His word comes forth and that His ways are identified. So, Father, I ask that You would just anoint that which is of You. Bring to my heart that which You have already prepared. My mouth is Yours. Let Your word be poured forth so that the saints may grow and mature. In Jesus' name. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1. The word that I kept hearing was the baptism of fire. And a baptism of fire is different than just going into the water. And I'm not exactly sure. Excuse me. How the progress of this message is going to go forward, because I know the scripture says that He will baptize us with fire. Fire consumes only the darkness. It doesn't consume you. Okay? And verse 7 says, "These have come so that your faith greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Now, you say, what does that really mean to you, Kevin? Well, maturity is to really recognize that Jesus is more than able to set you and me free of anything and everything that hinders. And that's my understanding of the baptism of fire. He comes and He allows the fire to come upon you and me to just eradicate the darkness, to just burn it up. And if you remember the scripture that He talks about, where there's wheat and tares that grow together, and He says, let them grow. Well, you can look at it from two different ways. You can look at it from different points of view. But my understanding of that scripture is me. It's always better when I look at me first, instead of looking at everybody else as the chaff, and I'm so holy, and you end up in pride. So God is interested in letting you see how many seeds of weeds have been growing inside of you. And those seeds are like weeds. They grow fast. The good stuff is steady, but it's also humble. And I can remember when I was a boy, my dad had a wheat field in the back of the house. And he said to me one day, look at the wheat field. And in the wheat field, the sun had come and it was awesome. But every one of the seeds of wheat, when they get ripe, they get heavy and they bow. And the tares are the opposite. They don't have very strong, heavy seed, because you can't make bread out of it. And it's just very bold and very brassy and arrogant. It never bows its head. Well, in my experience, when I look at the wheat that's in me, I am able to say, well, you know what? I did it wrong. Would you just forgive me? And I can remember the very first time that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And I think we have one person here who will probably appreciate this, maybe more than one. My son was 17, my oldest one. If you want to count the numbers, he's just turned 50, so he wouldn't like this advertisement, but it's the truth. So anyway, he did something absolutely silly. And guess what? The father me. Did something even double silly. I don't remember the argument, but I remember it was a real stupid choice that was made, and my reaction was so childish that I saw myself stamping my feet on the floor like a child who's having a fit. I saw myself. I literally saw it. I had never done that. I remember my dad fixing my wagon one time when I gave him a hard time, and he adjusted my thoughts with one good slap in the right place, which was designed for that. And it cured me for quite a while. But at this time, I'm 36 years old. I should know better than to have a fit in front of my 16 or 17-year-old boy. I don't remember which is which. Bottom line, he left the room in a huff. He was driving, so I know that it was might have been something to do with the car. I don't remember. But I remember the actions. So I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, because by this time, I have to be 37, so he's got to be 17. Anyway, I'm praying in the Spirit, and the Lord shows me that that was what I needed to see as chaff that needed to be burned. Well, as I progressed to try to do and save face, I found that there was no way to apologize from a prideful standpoint. It can't be done. So when he came back into the room, I said, "Son, I want you to forgive me. I acted like a real child, and I did it wrong. And I want you to forgive me." I said, "You know, I reacted more like you when you were three than I should have at 37. And he bowed his head. I saw his eyes well up with water. And he had done something wrong. I mean, but my reaction was way overboard. It was wrong. And when I humbled myself and asked him to forgive me, he couldn't do it. Because he was broken inside. And I said, "You've got to forgive me, son, because otherwise, you know, I'm going to feel bad." So he didn't speak the word, but he began to nod because his emotions were being crushed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And as that happened, I felt something within me begin to heat up on the inside of my heart. And I believe that that was the fire of God. Because you see, Jesus showed up that day. Jesus was revealed in his Father. Probably for the first time that he was tangibly able to see that this Father could say, "I'm sorry. I did it wrong." Now I want to give you a warning. Wherever you are in your walk with God, maybe your dad's not grown up enough or know enough of Christ, or Christ is not yet formed in him, that he can't do that right now. Do I get a little tiny amen? Maybe you're not quite mature enough to be able to say, "I'm sorry." But I can tell you this. You can ask for his grace. You can ask for his help. You can ask for his fire to burn that chaff. And whatever he allows in your life, he will bring it forth. So I want you to back it up now. Peter, verse 1. "An apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit." How does that sanctifying work of the Spirit work? To me, it's that fire that he released. So that I could tangibly know that Jesus Christ was coming to life in me. It was visibly evident in my son's face. Now, the sanctifying work of the Spirit is designed for one thing, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. In other words, there's an ongoing process that's cleaning me and you up. It doesn't stop when you kneel down and say, Jesus, come into my heart. That's the opening of the door. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What is that salvation that he's going to reveal in the last time? Watch verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds and trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed through you. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Now, if you notice, I added a couple words there. It's got to be personal. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now, I've talked about this before. But the salvation of your mind, will, and emotions is really what he's working on right now in the body of Christ. That's your soul. The salvation of your spirit is a done deal. But your soul, how many have problems with their minds? Running away with them once in a while. Okay? I'm a little over 37 now. And I still have areas where, oh God, what are you doing? I don't understand. My emotions are taking over, and obviously I had some of that last night because I had to make a few notes because it was a hard evening. Now you say, well, where are you going? Well, when you lose somebody you love, it hurts like crazy. And I know every one of you has lost somebody. But now I had a commission from the Lord last night. I have been putting it off and putting it off. How many know we like to run away from stuff that hurts? Well, that's what I had been doing, and last night was the day that I chose to go through a box that belonged to Mom. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are, when you lose somebody you love, the pain is real, and the tears are real, and the heart feels broken. And I'm not picking on you guys over here because it just happened last night, and I'm not trying to give you an emotional session. But I'm trying to tell you, your soul is real. So I'm going through this little box. How many remember the old-fashioned cigar boxes? Now, your name's your age. Well, this little box of cigars was obviously empty, but full of little tiny papers. And every one of those papers had either a song or a recipe. And some of those songs go back to when I was born and before I was born. And it was a challenge going through them because they're all handwritten. And my wife and I are, it's about 8:30, quarter nine, and I was determined I needed to go through it because I needed to eliminate what needed to be eliminated and I needed to throw away what needed to be thrown away. Well,
I went through the whole box. I didn't go through without crying. I'm just letting you know. I didn't go through without crying. But I kept praying and saying to the Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to go through this. Give me grace to just eliminate what needs to go into the fire. But then give me grace to hold on to what is a treasure. How many know there are treasures in your heart? Multiples of treasures. And you're not to throw those away. Okay? So I held on to several treasures. And after I was done, I sat back and I said, Father, I am so grateful.
For the gift you gave.
Every one of you has received gifts. In people, loved ones, cherished memories, holy, anointed moments that only you and God know. But the most important is the salvation of your emotions. Getting them healed. Get them under the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that that which is ungodly can be removed. And that which is of God can be kept.
I want to go back to verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. If you realize what that says, the goal of my faith is the salvation of my emotions. It's the salvation of my will. It's the salvation of my mind. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find the time, trying to find out the time and circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Even angels long to know or to look into these things. Angels. They're ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, it gives a verse that is quite intriguing, so maybe we can take a skip over to Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 7. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Are these angels that are flames of fire? Or are you the servants that he's speaking of? I would beg to conceive that I believe his servants are us. His angels are ministering spirits. Verse 14. Angels, ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation.
So it probably could be doubled. But I can tell you this. I believe there's a fire that is being prepared by God to clean his people. It's going to be a sprinkling of his blood. And it's going to be a fire that is so intense that when it hits, the chaff will definitely go. The weaknesses in the soul will be burned up. And the new man, the Holy One of Israel, inside of you, Christ Jesus himself, will rise to the surface. And you know what? Those holy emotions that are of God are going to be kept. Not in a cigar box, but inside your depths of your heart. They'll be kept there, and they'll be held on. Yesterday morning, I was watching the news at around 10 minutes of 9. It was the Fox News Network. Anybody happen to watch at that time? I was stunned. It's called Fox and Friends. It starts at 6 a.m. and it goes till 9. The last guest was an 8-year-old boy and his dad. Now, this is national television, you got to remember. The testimony was this. The little boy, when he was 4, was misdiagnosed when they took him to the doctors. When they took him to the hospital, he was 4 days with a perforated appendix. So he was poisoned completely. And I can relate to that because that happened to my son when he was 10. Literally, the little boy, obviously his spirit left, and the doctors and technicians worked on his body. Don't remember the details of how long, but this was the result. He came back into his body at one point. I don't know the fullness of the details, but I do know this. A few days after he's home with his parents and he's healing, he started to talk to his father about his grandfather. He said, "By the way, Grandpa so-and-so." And the father said his dad had died in a car accident when he was 7. So there was no way that his 4-year-old could have ever known the grandfather. "Grandpa said to tell you this and this and this," and it was all things that only the dad knew because he had lived it. "Well, how come?" "Well, I saw him in heaven. And by the way, there's no old people in heaven, Dad. So another couple of days," and these are the two highlights. The rest I don't know, because I think you can go on Fox News and you can look back on this and they'll give you more. But the closing remark was this one. Because it came in spurts. He would give them a piece of what he saw, and then he was quiet. And another piece of what he saw, and he was quiet. Well, one day he approached his mom and his dad and said, "By the way, my baby sister said to say hi." And they said, "Well, you don't have a baby sister." "Oh, yes, I do. I met her in heaven. She died in your belly, Mom." What does that say? The scripture says that in the last days, the children will awaken the parents. The parents got shook. The parents got shook. Why? Because it's necessary. They're so intelligent today. They lost track of God. Bow your heads. Father, my soul got me in trouble. Multiples of times. My emotions got the best of me. Multiples of times. And it can still happen today. But I'm asking you for grace. And for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come in a special way. To burn the chaff and to give them the grace. To humble themselves when it's time. So that the children of God
will be visible. And Christ Jesus will be seen in them, even as we speak. And all of God's people said, and amen. Be blessed. Share some hugs with each other, because God's in control.